Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah.
Sports in your face.
Oh, yeah.
Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Hour 2, Felger Mass, 3:04 in the afternoon here from our Star Market Broadcast Studios at the TD Garden in advance of the Bruins side against the Islanders and Rick Middleton's jersey retirement. We'll get to that story coming up a little later on in the program. We broadcast here on 98.5, the Sports Hub FM dial in Boston in the area. Simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. That's the TV side of it. Catch us anytime, anywhere on the app, 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Download that to your smartphone. The stream pops right up. Catch us live. All the replays are there. So if you miss us, just catch up that night or the next morning, and you're all caught up with Felger and Maz. Let's mix in some Patriots now to our Red Sox discussion. And I ask you simply, Maz, Sunday afternoon at Gillette, Vikings, Patriots, who do you like?
I like Minnesota this
week. Shocker, yep. Here we go.
Well, I don't pick
I'm stunned.
Well, you make it sound like I pick against the Patriots every week.
You know you just want to.
Yeah. That's not true. I picked them last week against the Jets.
I'd love to pick against the Patriots. I don't have the balls, and I always get it wrong. I can never figure out when their losses are coming.
So I just felt that this was a dangerous game the second I saw the schedule. And look, I like that Minnesota team. They haven't played as well as they should this year. But if you want me to give you more of an X's and O's analysis,
I do. I want your rationale.
So it feels to me like the last couple of years especially, when the Patriots have faced these teams that have a lot of guys to cover, boy, they've had a lot of problems. They've really struggled.
Minnesota has a lot of guys to cover?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, Kyle Rudolph.
That's it. Three.
Dalvin Cook out of the backfield.
Damn.
Do they throw to him a lot?
He caught a screen pass for a 26.
I saw that one. Do they throw to him a lot?
Yes, he's a receiver too, yeah. He'll catch the ball, yeah. Yeah, he will.
Okay.
So I'm telling you that I think that now, does that mean they'll coach it the right way? I don't know. I don't know if enough about the offensive coordinator with Minnesota. And I'm not telling you this is the Kansas City offense. But I'm telling you, there are guys you got to cover on this team. And Thielen, Rudolph, Cook, those guys, I think, for the most part, are going to be one-on-one, although maybe one of them will get doubled. Maybe Thielen will get doubled because Gilmore will get Diggs. We'll see. But I still think there's a chance the Patriots are going to have a hard time. And at the same time, the Vikings' defense is pretty good. Like, as I was reading more and more about it this morning, they're ranked like up near the top in all the key areas. Third down, red zone, points against. They've had a couple of bad games here, particularly early in the year. But I don't think the Patriots, with the way they're going, are going to light this team up.
Here from Ben Volen, the Vikings ranked 10th in points allowed. They ranked 3rd in yards. They've given up the fewest passing touchdowns in the NFL, just 14. The Vikings are the 3rd best defense on third downs in the NFL, 27%, and are the stingiest in the red zone, surrendering a touchdown, a league low, 43.2% of the time. So they do rank high.
So look, I said the same thing to you in the Tennessee game. The last I looked, the spread was around a touchdown for this game. I'd take the points. Okay, I would take the points. I think that the Vikes are going to cover, and it's going to be a tight game. So, but I like them to win. I think that they're the more talented team, and I think that Zimmer is one of the few coaches that looks across at Belichick and says, "Oh, I remember him." Like, you know, he's not in awe of Belichick, and he shut the Patriots down in the past. It was a long time ago when he was with the defensive coordinator of the Bengals. He held them to 6 points in a game in Cincinnati. It was a horrendous day weather-wise and everything else, but I don't think Zimmer's intimidated.
Murray?
Well, who have they beat this year, the Minnesota Vikings? They have yet to beat a team with a winning record. I gave you the games that they've actually won in the email chain. I'll go over them again, gladly. They opened the season with a win against Italian Osweiler before he got hurt, Fragile, Jimmy G, and the Niners. They've beaten the Eagles, who stink. They've beat the Cardinals, who stink. The Jets, who stink. The Lions, who stink. And the Packers, who stink and shouldn't be on primetime television anymore. They have yet to beat a team with a winning record, okay? So that you have to hold against them. And I loved this analogy I made in the email chain, so I'm going to repeat it. So as you said, yeah, they're a talented team. On paper, they have more talent than the Patriots. I'm with you on that, Maz. And offensively, they certainly do. They have a ton of individual talent. I think Diggs and Thielen are probably the best wide receiver duo in the NFL. And Kirk Cousins, when he's on, looks like a damn good quarterback. They have a ton of individual talent, but they can't play well together. They're the 2018 Boston Celtics.
Hmm.
A lot of high expectations going into this year. A lot of people had them in the Super Bowl coming out of the NFC. I know Beetle did. The Vikings, the sexy pick. I think you might have even been on that train, too. All aboard the Vikings train. What a team. Who's going to stop them? They're the Celtics. They're a mess. And even defensively, I don't care what those stats are. That Bears game a couple of weeks, they make a ton of dumb penalties. They're prone to dumb turnovers, and that starts with the quarterback, too, because bad Kirk Cousins. That guy is nothing. He's this generation's Drew Bledsoe. Big arm, ton of stats. He's Bible thumper Bledsoe. I don't believe in that team. I don't fear them. I think what they really are is what you got against the Bears, coming out of a bye, no less, a couple of weeks ago. They're a dumb team.
Wow.
Oh, I forgot the other part.
Murray just dropped his pants and took a steaming deuce on the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, and I forgot the other part. The Patriots are good?
No. No. I'm just saying, look, I think it'll be a close game. Oh, and their kicker, by the way, stinks, because any kicker in the Minnesota Vikings goes together like oil and water, from Anderson to Kai Forbath to Blair Walsh to Dan Bailey, who they had to pick off the street because they went through already like four kickers so far this season. So that guy will screw up. It'll be a close game. It'll be a competitive game. But the Pats aren't losing to this Vikings team.
I don't know. I feel like it's late in the year here now, and I feel like Minnesota's starting to come together.
They won a game! Just in the last couple of weeks, Maz, they got embarrassed coming out of a bye against the Bears on Sunday Night Football a couple of weeks ago.
They played better against the Packers. And I feel like it's starting to come together with the Vikings. I do. I'm sorry. I respect talent. Silly me. I know it's stupid. I know. Because the Patriots, you know, tend to just pick a bunch of guys who are average and put all the weight on quarterback shoulders and go 13-3. I actually look at the teams that have talent all across the roster. This feels to me, your argument feels the same kind of crap to me that I heard last year in the Super Bowl. And you know what? The Eagles were another team that had a lot of guys to cover. A bunch of guys covering the Patriots couldn't cover them. And so I think Minnesota's going to score in this game.
To me,
I don't know if they're getting 40. They're not the Rams, but I think you're going to get a 30-28, 28-27, 27-24,
and just
something like that.
Just real quick, on this last game that they played against the Packers, they should have blew that team out. They really should have. And their offense consistently feels like it's just in neutral. Like, they don't push the ball down the field, and they have the weapons to do it. And again, some of the dumb mistakes that Kirk Cousins makes, you would think at this point in his career, whatever it is, six, seven seasons in, that he wouldn't throw into triple coverage, or he would check down a little bit more. He's this generation's Bledsoe. Big arm, a lot of stats. Bible thumper Bledsoe.
Well, you talk about the stats. I mean, that's what stands out to me about the Vikings, is why they're not better. Well, they're 6-4-1, is that the record?
They've had a brutal schedule.
6-4-1. Okay, well, look, I just gave you the defensive rankings. They're 10th in points allowed, 3rd in yards allowed. They are the best third down defense in the NFL, and they're the best red zone defense in the NFL. I think I said they were the third best third down defense in the NFL. No, they're number one. So their defense is number one on third down, number one in the red zone, 10th in points allowed. On offense, all right, you got to love the pieces, as you just mentioned. Diggs, Thielen, I like Rudolph, Kirk Cousins. 3rd in the league in completion percentage, 5th in the league in passing yards, 9th in rating. His touchdown interception ratio is 22-7.
The only thing they haven't done all year is run the ball.
No, but listen, when he's got 22-7, only 7 interceptions, and he's thrown the most pass attempts. I'm sorry, second most pass attempts in the NFL. So 7 picks, but the second most attempts, pretty good. So how do you have Diggs, Thielen, Rudolph? The Cook kid is explosive. A quarterback who ranks near the top of the league, but they're only 16th in the NFL in scoring.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense with all that talent.
What is that? How is that?
Well, it's either...
And how do you have that offensive talent and those defensive rankings and be 6-4-1 with no wins against winning teams? How is that possible?
Because I would tell you that two of the winning teams they played are two of the best teams in the league. In fact, they might be the two best teams in the league. One of them was New Orleans, and there was a vendetta there for the Saints because of what happened last year in the NFC Championship game, or the divisional playoff game. So the Saints were going to win that game when they played the Vikings again. That was akin to Jacksonville facing the Patriots, for crying out loud. It was the same type of vendetta. So and they lost at the Rams. So... they're 5-2-1 in the other 8 games. Like, I look at those and say, that's bad. So I think it's a collection of elements or factors that make them look worse than they really are. Now, the offense should be scoring more. And I don't know if they can't run it in the red zone. They're not getting touchdowns. I have no idea. I haven't followed them closely enough. And Cook's not that big a guy, right? So maybe that's the issue, and he's been inconsistent. But it feels to me like it's starting to come together. And I don't feel that way about the Patriots.
Based off one game against the Packers.
Discuss.
I know. You think I'm trolling, Murray. I'm not trolling.
No, I know you're not. You believe this.
I like the Vikings this week.
I want to bring in a Galhorn tomorrow, whatever the hell they call those.
All right, 617-779-0985. Mix in your Patriots stuff with our baseball stuff. Right back to you after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Coach Zimmer's done, as usual, a tremendous job with his team. Very, very good football team. They have good talent. They're really well coached. Defensively, this is as good a coaching as we'll face. I think Mike does a tremendous job with fundamentals, with their schemes, particularly in the critical situations, they're down red area, 2 minute. He's a great coach and has been for a long time and has that unit playing extremely well. Look, Mike's a game plan coach. He does a great job of scheming and planning for the team he's playing against. So based on what you do, then he's going to do something to attack you. If you do something else, then he's going to do something else. So he's depends on what you do. That's what you're going to see.
All right, that's Bill on the Vikings, pumping the tires of Mike Zimmer. I don't know how I should feel about that guy.
Who's Zimmer?
Yeah.
Well, you know what this is. This is the old boy network at work.
Well, yeah, no, I know. So I'm just, we just ran the Bill sound to give you something there. But he's a Bengal.
Yeah, right. There is that.
He's a Bengal.
Not originally, though. He's not an original Bengal.
That's how I think of him.
He was there long enough.
That's where he was reared.
Yeah, not really, though. He was a Parcells disciple. He learned under Parcells in Dallas. I think he was one of the I want to say he was defensive coordinator with the Cowboys when Parcells was the coach there, and then he went to Cincinnati and then Minnesota. So, and to me, this is the whole love affair thing. Like, I don't know. I view him as kind of a Coughlin knockoff, and maybe that's just me. Coughlin's won Super Bowls. This guy hasn't.
Well, he's an old grump, that's for sure.
Well, so there you go. I sort of, you know, with the glasses and everything. No. I see Coughlin sometimes when I see him.
Right. I see what you're saying from a, like, aesthetic standpoint. Visually, he carries himself like sort of a badass, in control, not a rah-rah guy.
Gets beat red when he yells.
Well, but just sort of someone that I feels like is in command. Like, he has the look. I got you that. And now that he's got the eye thing, like, sometimes he had to wear the eye patch last year. Like, all right, I get it. I don't know. He's a Bengal. That's just how I feel about the guy. A Bengal can't lose his stripes. You know what I mean? And so I just wonder about that, the stain of the Bengals' loserdom. All right, so football mixed in with your baseball. Rich and Walpole on that Cano and Eddie Diaz deal. Who would you deal if you were the Red Sox, Rich?
Hey, guys, I'd definitely deal JBJ, but I think the real question is, do you trust Dombrowski to navigate the next 2 years? Because, Tony, I agree with you. They're kind of at a crossroads here. Do you double down and continue to roll with these guys? Or I think the $64,000 question is, does he have the balls to deal Xander Bogaerts this offseason and kind of replenish the minor leagues while they're still trying to win a title? I don't know what you guys think about that, but I think that's the way I would go.
So I do. When he's operating at the major league level, it feels like his batting average is really good. Wherever he's been, the batting average is good. So I trust him to make those calls.
Yeah, I don't.
And that's not to say he's getting them all right, but do I just have trust that he's going to, of Bradley Bogaerts, Benintendi, Devers, you know, those guys, Betts, who's he going to pay? Who's he going to deal? What's he going to deal him for? I have faith in him.
Yeah, I don't. I don't, because I think they're at a stage now where they're going to have to deal some guys like Bogaerts and go for young talent. And I don't see a history with him of being able to identify the young talent. I mean, you could go all the way back to the Marlins in the early 2000s, in which case, okay, fine. You know, I think they traded for A.J. Burnett. You know, you could even say Max Scherzer with the Tigers. Like, there were little deals like that. But overall, as a builder of an organization, no.
He's not building here.
Well, he's building. He's got to build the minor league system.
He's maintaining. For the first time ever, you're talking about the minor league system. I never knew you to be a minor league guy.
I've always talked about the minor league system. I've always said the Red Sox should be able to do both. They should be able to win at the big leagues and develop. I've always said they should be able to do both.
Thomas in Brookline, what do you got on the Pats and the Vikings?
Hi, I'm just trying to figure out who's going to cover who against the Vikings on that defense, because our defense is slow as ever, so I'm just trying to figure it out.
Well, this is Maz's point, and I'll say this. If they go man-to-man, they're in trouble. You know, I think Stephon Gilmore does okay against Thalen, but Thalen's inside sometimes, right?
Correct. He's going to get Diggs.
I think Diggs is going to beat him.
So do I.
I mean, I go edge Diggs right there.
Well, but Gilmore can't play zone, or it doesn't feel like he can. This is why. Look, I like the matchups. I like them every week when you have a good, particularly when you have a good game. And so, like the Philly game, when the Super Bowl, you know, I like that stuff. So in this game, to me, if I'm the Patriots, Gilmore's got to play man, I think. And this is where I wonder if he hurts him, because this is the classic team where you would say you drop seven into coverage, maybe even eight for crying out loud, because they can't run. So let them hand off all night. Like, to me, that would be the play, except that Gilmore's got to play man. So I don't know. You could play a combination of man and zone, I guess. Gilmore will cover Diggs. I think that's the matchup you're going to get. If I'm the Vikes, I'll take that. I'll throw to Diggs with Gilmore on him. I'll take that chance all day long. And then if the Patriots want to play run with four guys, well, then Minnesota's going to have to run the ball.
So, look, I'm just telling you, I don't like that matchup, but I bet you could go into most games with the Vikings and say, well, the edge Vikings, you can't cover, you don't have two good corners to go man-to-man against Thalen and Diggs. You're going to lose one of those. And then the tight end in the middle, and, well, the quarterback's good, you know, statistically, and so edge Vikings, and then they lose. So it's like there's something doesn't add up about that Minnesota team.
Again, two of the losses are the Rams and the Saints.
You see a lot of miscommunications. You even saw some in the game against the Packers on Sunday. That starts with the quarterback.
Andrew in Florida on Maz's Hall of Fame ballot. Go ahead, Andrew.
Oh, hey, guys. Love the show. A couple of quick points today. Hear me out, please. So first off, I agree 100% with the Hall of Fame ballot. Baseball as a whole needs to get past the juicing era. Everybody did it. Let's just acknowledge this is some of the greatest players of all time. And, yeah, they were probably all juicing, but so was everybody else. Also, quickly, go get the Diaz kid from Seattle. Pick up Cano. It doesn't matter. Maybe he has a bit of a resurgence here in Boston. He's going to be in a better lineup, see pitches that he never seen in Seattle. And then also the Red Sox are in such a great bargaining position, because if Seattle really wants to off the contract, what other teams can really absorb $25 million a year, and it really doesn't put a speed bump in what we're going to do?
A lot of teams. Philly can do it, and they're building. The Mets can do it if they want to.
The Yankees,
I'm leaving them out, but the Cubs can do it. The Dodgers, I don't know, might be maxed out, but no. The Red Sox actually might be more hamstrung financially than these other teams.
Correct. Yep, there's a lot of teams that could do it. So the question is whether they want to, because they probably have better prospects. So this is another reason why I look at it and say, if there's a bidding war, the Red Sox are going to get the player. Nope. Because if I'm dealing the player, if I'm trading away Diaz and someone's going to take Cano, other teams have more to offer than the Red Sox do. So this is, you know, now I don't think this is a back-breaking deal. But, you know, if the Red Sox could unload Sandoval's money in this deal and say, you take the 1 year of Sandoval, we'll take the 5 years of Cano, we'll throw in a prospect, and you give us Diaz.
They still have a year of Sandoval?
Yep, one more.
At 19?
Yep, 19 and a half.
Billy in Rhode Island. What do you got for us today, Bill?
How you doing, Father?
Good.
I'm with you on Dombrowski. I think he's doing a good job. I think he will continue to do that. I think we got a good team. I don't see too many problems with the team itself and the coaching. You know, they got a great coach. I think, you know, they're together. I think you got to make some. Nunez, I just want Nunez out of there. Guys, he's a joke for the team. He really downgrades that team. Get rid of that guy. But as far as Dombrowski is concerned, I think there's no problem with him taking care of this team for the next 2 or 3 years.
I'm just saying, you know, I think most. I'm sorry, Billy. I don't know. I think people still don't. Well, I think fans don't trust him. And I just want to know why. I mean, and look, I used to be in that camp squarely.
Detroit, that's why.
But he never won in Detroit.
Okay, but what shape were they in when he left?
Poor.
So this is, you know, again, like that contract with Cabrera now. You look at that and say, well, that was a mistake.
Well, who keeps it together for 20 years? I mean, there's going to be ups and downs.
But re-signing Cabrera to that deal was a mistake. And so, like, I look at it and say, is he going to do the same thing with Chris Sale? So honestly, the Sale one's a good one. I don't have confidence in his ability to navigate that one. If I'm the Red Sox, I ride it out with Sale, see what it looks like next year. Phil, I'm fearful they're going to sign him.
Phil and Revere on Tom Brady. What do you think, Phil?
Tom Brady, like you've been saying from the beginning of the year, how he didn't go to camp and all that. Do you really think he cares about getting into the playoffs anymore or winning to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
He's always been a dink and dunk passer. Now he's always launching these balls. You've never seen Brady like that. He's always, you know, it's always the play action, all that stuff. I just don't think he's playing with the same heart he's always played with.
Okay, well, I kind of agree with that. I don't think he's as into it as he once was. I think that's dissipated. He's still into it. He still wants to win. Don't get goofy. He wants to make the playoffs. He wants to win Super Bowls. He shows up on Sunday and he wants to win. Don't get dumb. Is he willing to put in all the little grindy work day in, day out, starting in April, all the way through the thing? You know, he didn't do it this year. He didn't do it this year, and I think it's shown up, and I've said that from day one. But in terms of the dinky passes, we actually looked this up yesterday. He's throwing short as much as he ever has, and
correct,
he's throwing it as well short as he ever has, right?
And when Paul Perillo was in yesterday, Paul Perillo of Patriots Football Weekly, he had said that he started to feel that Brady was throwing mostly to his right now and no longer to his left. The data suggests otherwise. We looked up some of the numbers, and more of the passes are actually going left than right.
Paul actually said he's just missing throws to the left. He didn't say volume of throws.
Okay.
So I was curious about the volume of throws, because I think a tell that you're not seeing the field well is that you're throwing right a lot, because that's always your first read, because it's where you're looking when you drop back. The quarterbacks that don't throw left concern me, and I think the elite guys throw left as much, if not more, as they throw right.
He's still throwing left.
And that feels right to me, so I don't think it's that. The question is, I think mechanically he's not been the same, and I think that he corrected some of that going into that Jets game. I thought he was much better against the Jets mechanically, but I think his footwork has been off this year. Little things. I think some people notice arm strength on the sidelines. I don't notice that as much, but I think he's a little bit off. I think his slight drop in play accounts for the offense's slight drop in play.
To me, they don't control the middle of the field like they used to. They don't. They owned the middle of the field. It's what Rex Ryan's whole defense was predicated on in 2010, for crying out loud. Jam the short middle, force him to throw to the outside, and the Patriots couldn't do it, and they lost the playoff game here in the divisional round. We all remember it. And I feel like now, whether it's a combination of opposing defenses, but I think it has more to do with the Patriots' ineptitude in there than it does, and I say ineptitude, relative ineptitude, than it does with the opposing defenses. They used to own between the hashes. Brady to Welker, Brady to Edelman, Brady to Gronk, they owned it. You couldn't defend them in there. Now it just feels like they're just not as effective in there as they used to be.
Okay, more of your Patriots thoughts, Red Sox leftover thoughts, if you like, right after Murray's update. Give us a call, 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back to your calls. As promised, we have wrestling tickets to give away here coming up in a couple minutes. So if you want those, don't leave your radio. Our friend Daniel is in Quincy. Hi, Dan.
You know, Tony, I'm agreeing with you on this one, and I think Felger, you're the cover first guy on the defense, and I'm the pass rush guy, and I don't care if Murray can criticize. You know, you're the anti-runite. Murray's the anti-quarterbackist. He hates every quarterback in the league. And Kirk Cousins will rip this defensive secondary apart if they don't disrupt him, and that's the key.
They get burned on the crossing routes, the underneath stuff. You can stuck a guy within 5 yards, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
They can. They don't. They still allow that, correct?
Yes.
Whatever happened to that?
That's a good point.
It's not a very physical secondary. It's true, Danny.
It's awful. And the McCourty brothers get killed. I mean, it's unbelievable. And Zolak has a one-on-one with the coach. Before I go to my grave, I'd like to know one thing. Why is it we never have a pass rush? Is it designed that way? Do you just purposely not? At least get your hands. I watched four games last week where I saw like at least five passes get knocked down. The defensive linemen, if they can't get to the quarterback, at least they get their hands up and they knock a pass down. Kirk Cousins will rip this team apart. Murray, after last year in the Super Bowl, you have lost your license on criticizing opposing bad quarterbacks because this defense makes those guys look like Tom Brady is.
Okay.
I mean, considering what Nick Foles did to what is mostly still this defense.
Yeah.
I am no big believer in Kirk Cousins. And their third option, that Laquon Treadwell, that kid stinks.
Cannot catch the football.
Oh, boy.
Horrible.
Frying pan hands.
Horrible.
So if they're going to try to attack him with crossers, like, I don't know. So if Diggs is dealing with a knee injury, they're going to be sending him across the middle. Like, this is where they use Treadwell a lot, and he blows.
Well, yeah, I can't speak to the injuries. All I'm telling you is that the Patriots usually struggle when they have a lot of guys to cover. And it feels to me like they get a lot of guys to cover. And I was just now, I don't know about the Vikes' offensive line.
Not great.
Okay, so, but I do know that they have the third most pass attempts in the league, and they're in the middle of the pack in sacks allowed. So it can't be awful protection.
Well, fair point. It's not considered great. What was I just going to say? Oh, but I think Danny might be right. You can't cover Thielen and Diggs and those guys. You don't have that. So
zone it.
Well, you get to Cousins. That's how you disrupt it. You get to Cousins. You attack Cousins. So that's it. I mean, I think Dan might be right. And is it by design that they don't have a pass rush? I think it is. I don't think Bill wants to pay those one-trick pony speed outside rushers. I don't think he thinks that's smart money.
Oh, wait a minute, though. I mean, maybe he's just whiffed on some of them. Adrian Claiborne, he's been mostly useless, but they want to bring him in as a pass rusher.
When I say pay, I mean $30 million guaranteed,
oh, sure, yeah,
$12 million.
Chandler Jones money.
Yeah, those guys, the Chandler Jones money. Right, he was never going to pay that guy. And I thought Chandler Jones was a decent two-way player, but he's not going to overpay just for that speed rusher. He wants those guys to defend the run, two-gap, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, look, anytime he goes and gets a guy like that, it's a bargain guy.
Exactly.
Andre Carter, Mark Anderson, Adrian Claiborne. They got production out of those guys.
Those guys, they did. Like Coney Ealy last year trading a third-round pick for him, and he doesn't even end up making the team. And Claiborne, like I said, has been useless.
I just don't love the matchup on paper. Okay, I don't. I'm sorry. Minnesota's got a lot of guys to cover. The Patriots' defense isn't good. And if they blitz, I don't feel great about their ability to cover the blitz in man-to-man.
Six. we got to have that stupid horn somewhere there, Jimmy. That makes the Vikings to me. That horn. Thank God we're not in Minneapolis.
Forgive me for not being a honk.
Those freaking a-holes. Can I spend a second on the horn? Those a-holes in Minneapolis blow the horn when the opponent gets a penalty. It's like they pick up a first down because some weenie ref throws the flag. And sure enough, like, you a-hole, you didn't even do anything. You didn't even do anything. And some sort of lucky play. Oh, it's the worst. Oh, I hate it. I think it's a sign that there's sneaky bad people there in Minneapolis. Teddy in Chicopee. Go ahead, Teddy, on the Red Sox. What do you think of that Cano thing?
Yeah, on the Red Sox, I think Dombrowski's smart by not picking up that relief pitcher because he has to take that guy for $125 million. In the next couple of years, the Red Sox are going to be needing this extra money to keep some of their players. So what do you think about that?
Okay, I think that's the equation, except, Maz, you think they can't keep him anyway.
Well, so I just wonder. Like, you know, it's they've tried with some of these guys, I presume. They've clearly tried with Betts. We know that. With Bogarts, they've tried, I think. Bogarts is now up at this time next year, Bogarts is on the market. So if you're going to move him, I feel like you're already late. But that said, you got a good year out of him this year. That's fine. Then what? Like, and honestly, I'm not sure I want to pay Bogarts $20, $25 million a year. I'm not sure he's worth it. So I loved him coming up, but until this past year, he was never the player he was supposed to be. And so I have trepidation there. Bets I would pay. I would absolutely pay Betts. But if he doesn't want to sign here, then what? And I don't see any superstars coming through the system that are going to fill their holes at shortstop and right field.
We continue with your thoughts on this. Do you trust Dave Dombrowski to make the right calls? I do. Murray does. Maz? Not so much. Jimmy Stewart? Not so much.
It was an emphatic no from Jay Stu.
Yeah, and with me, it's probably not so much. Okay. My answer is no.
Your thoughts on that? And your phone calls at 617-779-0985. Couple open lines if you want to grab them. Also, free wrestling tickets coming your way in a matter of just minutes, seconds. So don't leave your radio. We're right back.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports
Hub. Bill Belichick said that you're one of the best coaches in the league. Just what does that compliment mean coming from Belichick?
Yeah, he's the best coach ever. So, I think it's a compliment that he thinks that of me. Hopefully he's not just saying it because we play him this week.
That guy who was typing during the conference call?
He should be shot.
Taken out back, abused about the face with a moist sausage.
Why
do you need to tap that in?
Tap, 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 tap.
They hand out transcripts, and you need to get word for word the question? Just
a go-getter. You were there once, Mike.
I never did that. I mean, and if I ever did, as soon as I heard someone doing that, I'm like, I'm never doing this again. I'll just wait for the transcript. Or maybe I'll get a word wrong in the question. But really, why do you have to tap through that like that?
I can honestly say I don't think I ever once typed on a teleconference. Not once. Ever. Took notes? For sure. Typed? No.
Oh, my God. Go F yourself. Who's ever typing right there? That makes you want to kill yourself.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So that's Patriots Vikings. Your thoughts there? Leftover Red Sox thoughts. We're going to get to the Rick Middleton retirement coming up here in a little bit as well. I also have wrestling tickets for you in just a few minutes. So if you want that, hang tight. If you're calling right now, you're cheating and you've lost. If you've already called, you've cheated and you've lost. Here's Tom in New York. What do you got for us on the Red Sox farm system, Tom?
Hi, everyone. How's everything going? So Maz was talking about how farm system is definitely key for baseball. If you look in the last 10 years, the Cubs in Houston, their farm system definitely won their championship. But previous year, San Fran, Philly, Yankees, it has been a mixture of high-profile players and, we'll just say, farm system. But Dombrowski, all his trades, most of them have been prospects that are most likely not going to be stars. I know it's going to be in a couple of years. But
so what's your point, Tom?
In baseball, it's not all about how great your farm system is ranked. It's the guy that you keep and the guy that you get rid of.
Sure. Okay. But you have to have good players to make that determination.
Right. And you also then have to keep your good players. So, again...
He was too boring and his phone sucked. But I would ask... So, now we're going to... Because the Red Sox don't have a good system, we're going to twist ourselves into a pretzel to tell us that systems aren't important?
Yeah. No. Right. It's irrelevant. You don't need to do that. You just buy a championship. Listen, the fact of the matter is that right now, here's my question. Where's this all going? Where's it going in the longer term, if not the long term? In the short term, they obviously just won the World Series. They got most of the team back. They're going to be a contender again in 2019. Fine. But where's it going with Betts? Where's it going with Bogarts and Sale? Where is this thing going? Because I don't see the next wave coming. So how do you sustain this thing now? To me, that is the challenge that Dombrowski has. How do you sustain this? And I'm not sure he has the answer.
Here's Mel in the car. Go ahead, Mel. What do you got for us on the Patriots?
Yes. What I wanted to talk about is Bedard said it too. I was shocked that the Patriots blitzed as many times that they blitzed because I haven't seen that in a long time. To me, what I observed the last few years, Patriots lack big-time playmakers at, you know, important positions, linebacker, safety, and stuff like that. And I wanted to ask you guys a question. Besides Deion Branch, who was the last receiver that Belichick drafted that became someone?
That's the last one. You just hit on the last one. Branch and Givens in the same year. Unless you want to say Malcolm Mitchell, who I liked, but injury risk turned out to be an injury risk, and so I don't even consider that bad luck. That's what you bargained for there. They haven't drafted receivers.
Because Edelman doesn't really count, right?
Seventh round quarterback. So I don't really give them full credit for that. I mean, I don't. I give them credit for developing them. They developed the crap out of Julian Edelman. Great job there. The actual identification of a college receiver translating to the pros, how can you possibly give him credit for that?
No, I don't think he can. And look, I've never questioned their ability to develop players. I mean, Belichick's the best at that. So that to me is not what we're talking about. But the receiver thing? Well, maybe with receivers,
I mean,
you question
the outside receiver, he hasn't done it.
Or even the corner.
The corner's another thing, too. Either he gets a stud or he doesn't. It's not like, well, Malcolm Butler, I think.
Yeah, Butler's a good one.
They brought along. They brought along and got everything they could out of him. In terms of the playmakers at those defensive spots, I agree. But I told you before, I think they'd rather overspend on a guy like Devin McCourty than a playmaking safety who gets a lot of, you know, who they blitz a lot and gets sacks and interceptions. That's just what Bill values, the guy that's consistent and smart and can play the heady game and set the defense versus a guy that flies around and makes plays. Because Devin McCourty has never been a fly around the field, make plays kind of guy. Ever. Never been. He's that first thing that I said. And yet they paid him. And when he signed his contract, it was like the second or third highest paid safety in the league. And that guy's never been a quote-unquote playmaker.
No. Stable. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, to me, I always use this, he's like your classic B-plus player. That's who he's a solid B-plus, but he'll never be an A. What's the greatest play of his career?
Devin McCourty's greatest play of his career.
So the only one that sticks out to me is he made an interception against Baltimore in the divisional playoff of the AFC Championship game here.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Well, was that the game where they came back twice?
I think
two touchdowns down?
Yep, yeah, so I think so.
2014.
So he made a pick in that game where they ran a play early in the game that succeeded.
Yeah, it was a deep sideline throw.
Right, and then flipped the formation and ran it on the other side, and McCourty read it and ran it over and picked it off. That's it. That's the only one I can remember. I mean, what do you want me to give you? An interception return against Buffalo this year?
And if you go back to Rodney Harrison, I can give you
a million.
Right? I mean, he was that ball-hawking, playmaking safety, but it's just what Bill values. I mean, it's hard to say he's wrong. I don't know. How do you say he's wrong?
Rodney made a million of them except for the one against Tyree in the Super Bowl.
Well, that was post-drug bust. So, you know, you don't hold that one against him. Folks, I just want to remind you real quick, we're re-upping our I have wrestling tickets here in a second. So don't call yet on the wrestling tickets. We've begun our Christmas in the City fundraising efforts. Just want to remind you that their big fundraiser, Thursday, December 6th at the Seaport Hotel. Okay? Thursday, December 6th at the Seaport. So come on by and say hi, donate, buy a ticket. It all goes to that great cause of Christmas in the City. If you need details on what Christmas in the City is, go to christmasinthecity.org. We've told you about it a million times. Also on Saturday, December 8th, we will be doing our annual toy drive and we'll also take your monetary donations at Newberry Comics at the Natick Mall. Saturday, December 8th, Newberry Comics, Natick Mall, 2:30 to 4:30. Felger, Maz, Murray, Stu, everybody comes, meet the show, drop off a toy or some money for Christmas in the City. Also going to do our online auction starting Monday, December 10th. All sorts of great auction items like a Troy Brown signed football, Bruins team signed sticks, things like this, and a thing I keep promoting, a handful of Felger and Maz show sit-ins, which are not just viewing opportunities, which we've done a lot in the past. You get to sit in studio and watch the show live. No. We put you on air, if you want, and you get to do a full segment with Felger and Maz. So these are sports radio live sit-ins. For that particular day, that particular segment, it will be Felger, Maz, and Joe Blow. And Joe Blow sets the agenda. What we talk about, his takes, our takes. Joe Blow can take calls.
Well, that ought to be a good show.
Joe Blow can read emails. It's not a whole show.
Make sure you record it, Mark.
5-minute segments at a time, something like that. 5-6-minute segments. I don't know if we can go to 10.
Yeah, not just on the radio. I want the DVR too.
So you'll be on the simulcast. So you will be you will host essentially a sports radio segment. So we're auctioning those off. I think that's a pretty nifty gift right there.
Yeah, Mark, let's do it.
Felger and Mazz, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.